Welcome back to another episode of the Thick Boy Mafia Podcast. Before we get started, I just want to thank all of you for every view and like and listen and for all your support that you've given us, also by buying merch. Today we have the chance to chat with Clayton Kimball. Also, be sure to check our Instagram to see our little Christmas surprise. And without further ado, Clayton.
You're talking about Felix, Marty just had so many people like competing that day, and he couldn't run to the beginning. He was still finishing off what Hank, I think, and I asked that guy, and he doesn't even know me, but he just knows I'm part of Elite, and he coached me until Marty got there.
Right on.
And I'm like, there's not a lot of, I don't know if there's a lot of gyms that would do that for you, or right. You know,
no, I really like the vibe of anybody I've met that's from Elite. You know, like I said, that have come through our spot on like an open mat, always just super rad, super positive. Like, I don't know. And they train really hard.
It feels like you're like in a little clique, right? Like you meet someone from Elite. Like, I was delivering at one of my, one of the accounts that I have for the coffee company that I work for. And, there's a girl there who just like saw me in the hoodie. Cause I will throw on like the Elite team hoodie or something when I'm working. Under like my rain jacket, and she saw it, and she's like, "Hey, I trained there." She's like, "You trained at the Visalia one?" I'm like, "You know," and it's just like, it's like cool, you know, that there's like all these other people you can like.
Dude, I was up in Santa Cruz, I don't know, like a month or two ago, and I went and hit an open mat, and I met two or three people that train out of Visalia regularly, like split their time between Northern California and the Central Valley. They're like, "Where are you from?" You know, and I tell them, and like, "Oh, I trained in Visalia." I'm like, "What?"
Yeah. And then they'll like know like Marty or something. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's a different demeanor when they, oh, you train at that spot. They all say like, oh, yeah, Marty and Fresno is legit. Like, The Elites are legit. It's like, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, no, it's pretty cool. I love rolling with them. I know Fred, you've gone, well, Fred's like trained in like Mexico and stuff, and he said there's a bunch of killers.
That's right. Guadalajara, yeah, with the shout out Wolfgang. Wolfgang, yeah, I got to them. I trained in Vegas. That was okay. Texas, I've gone to Texas.
Nice.
What was training like in Mexico? What's their
It's the same like? Thing, man. Jiu-jitsu is jiu-jitsu. Right on. It's the same language. Even if you don't speak it, you know, jiu-jitsu is the same language, you know, here in Mexico. I'm sure if we go, like, overseas, same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, generally doesn't have a lot of douchebags hanging out for too long.
Yeah, not, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I feel like I meet a bunch of cool nerds there.
Always. It's nothing but nerds.
Yeah.
Or mostly, you know.
Or at least, like, even if they're, like, some big jack dudes, they're, like, nerds for jiu-jitsu still. Yeah,
I don't feel like you can do it for any length of time and not be nerdy to some extent. Like, it's a lot of brain power. It's not, you know,
it's a lot of humbling at the beginning.
Yeah.
I don't know if you see me sometimes just like chatting with dudes on the wall, like about video games and Pokemon and stuff.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's a cool scene for sure. I'm glad I finally kicked myself in the butt to do it, you know.
And how are your hands feeling?
Dude, they'll never be 100% again. They're still jacked, but they're functioning to the point where I can train and not feel a lot of pain. I sleep, not feel a lot of pain. Started playing music again, don't feel a lot of pain. So they're about as good as they're going to be, man. So
what happened? What was the injury? Or what was the
in 2012? I was working a moving job and moved like a 400 or 500 pound piece of furniture up multiple flights of stairs with other dudes, but they just burnt out. My hands just were not the same after that. What resulted was a severe carpal tunnel in both wrists, to where like I couldn't close my fists for most of the day, and just super painful. And my forearms were like rocks. Like I describe it, like if you're lifting weights and you feel the lactic acid build up and it just burns, that was my forearms 24/7.
Jesus.
So they did a carpal tunnel release in my wrists, and then they took the radial nerve in both of my elbows, cut the muscle, moved it over the bone, buried it in there, and sewed it back up. So they're just kind of stuck in my arms. They don't get pinched off anymore. But yeah, they're, I don't know. I'm stoked.
Dude, I can tell, like, since you came back from that, I'm like, you're just, like, not letting me go anymore.
Yeah, dude, I don't know. It was a super bummer to have to sit down for a couple of months, man. Like, I don't like taking breaks on stuff. I don't like pumping the brakes on anything. And it was like, no, you kind of got to sit your butt down and recover and just do it.
But, so I have a shoulder injury, and I've talked to the doctor about it, and then they've told me, like, until you can't move it, they're like, we don't want to mess with it because it's not going to be like it was before.
Yeah, and you're super young, dude. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I avoided getting cut on or doing surgery for a long time. Just, I don't know, my professional life is around surgery and stuff. And I'm like, that's, I don't know, if you can do other stuff, do that before you absolutely have to.
Yeah.
And we got totally like, you know, the miracle of chemistry and science. Like, you can go do some other stuff now to heal and recover, you know?
I've noticed that massages cells? Help. Yeah.
Stem cells, is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, stem cells. Or like the peptide stuff. The peptide, yeah, you know.
Well, I don't know anything about that, but I always hear about it.
I don't know the exact sciences behind it, but whatever they are, if you shoot them up into an injury, they help a lot. Like, yeah, I've done them for a number of minor injuries. And, you know, for my surgeries, I'd read up that shooting up high doses for recovery helps with even post-surgical stuff, you know, to heal. So the first one they did, I waited a week. The second one I did same day. I got home and took off the bandages and just started shooting up the 157 stuff with the 500 nice. Or whatever. And I don't know. They came back pretty quick.
So. There's like no side effects or anything from that?
I haven't experienced it. Oh, okay. And I haven't heard of it.
Maybe with like just if you prolonged use or something, but
I don't know. I don't think they've been out still long for enough. New,
yeah. Really?
Yeah. But yeah. I don't know. I'll roll that dice every day. I've rolled dice on other stuff I put in my body. So if yeah. stuff that'll make it healthy, why not?
I've seen the stem cell stuff. Like, I seen that you can just like go to Mexico and like pay for them and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're expensive.
I'm sure.
Looked into that.
And was it like 15 G's?
To get both my arms done, I think it was going to be like 20 to 25. And I'm like,
so 10 each, 12 each.
Yeah. And that wasn't like a direct quote. That was like an estimate after just sending their emails to say, I'm interested. What do you got going on? You know?
So did they tell you the process? Like, oh, you'll go to San Diego. We'll pick you up from there and then we'll do this. Or how does that
yeah,
work?
I didn't get that far into it. I literally just like went to their website, sent the email. What do you have going on? Mm-hmm. I was like, how much is this looking like? And by that time I had already started seeing an orthopedic surgeon.
Okay.
And I just was like, nah, okay, I'm going to go this route. It's here. Yeah. You know, it'll be cheaper. But, you know, if I had unlimited money, I would have went to Tijuana in a heartbeat.
Oh, sick. Yeah.
One thing I am going to do is skin removal surgery.
Eventually. Oh, really?
Yeah, eventually. I need to get down a couple more pounds still.
Yeah.
Because yeah,
of all the weight loss, right?
Yeah. That's right. I was just going to get ready to ask. How much have you lost total, dude?
As of like right now, maybe like 100 pounds. Nice. 100 pounds right now.
Oh, yeah.
The lowest, you know, I got to like 215, so like 135.
Oh, yeah.
So right now I'm like 35
I remember that for that competition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on, dude.
I'll get there again. Hopefully early next year.
I get stoked hearing stories like that, man. Like that takes a lot of work, and it's not easy to do.
It does.
Hell yeah, man.
It does. But it's finally like a lifestyle change, you know, so like
right on.
It takes a while. It takes a while.
Whatever, you're still young, dude.
Yeah, 32.
Yeah, 32. Boy, dude, you're just a baby.
32.
Yeah, feel old. Time.
Got three kids, feel old.
Yeah.
I have none, and I'm 33.
Yeah, I have none, and I feel old. I'm pushing 50.
Dude, you're 50?
Close. I thought you were younger. I'll be 48 this year.
Oh, okay.
You're so strong, dude, though. That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
No, just peptides? The camera's already over here. He's like,
no.
Dude, that was like the first thing. Like, I know there's that joke where like, oh, you're strong, you know, when we were rolling. And I tell people like, with Clayton, I was like, no, that's a legit thing.
Scary.
Like, he's actually he's strong as fuck. Dude.
So for a while, like just dumb white belt stuff, I was like, man, these guys are clowning on me. Like, I got no technique.
No, but dude, we still say it.
I don't feel strong. I especially after getting the surgeries and having to recover, like, I don't feel strong. But it's cool to hear that other dudes are strong.
I feel like there's a difference now. Like, it's right harder on. To get away from you.
Right on.
Because, like, last time, I don't know, yet, you're like... You did an arm drag and you like got to my back standing and I was like, oh shit. I was like,
you showed me that stuff, dude.
Yeah. And I stole it from him.
Yeah.
It's a vicious cycle. It's just going in circles.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. No. I don't know. I've noticed I've gotten stronger over the last couple of months since I've gotten back on like a workout regimen and stuff and just the weight of kettlebells and stuff I'm able to use. But I don't feel very strong.
What do you do? Like a kettlebell circuit?
Nope.
No.
My stuff's super simple, dude. Mostly, almost exclusively jump rope and burpees. Four years ago.
Just like calisthenics and stuff?
Yep. Not even, just jump rope burpees and pull-ups. That's it. Maybe push-ups on my knuckles with the feet raised up on
I'm thinking like prison workouts right now.
Yeah, 100%, dude. I've never been locked up, but that's where I got them from.
You ever watch that movie, Shot Caller?
Yeah.
When they're like all in their cages and they're like, 200 burpees. Or what do they call them? Up-downs or I forgot what they call them. Or Navy SEALs. They call them Navy SEALs.
Yeah.
Yeah,
have you seen that movie?
No. Yeah, it's a good prison movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it?
Shot Caller.
Shot Caller.
Yeah.
Killer. Yeah.
I think it's on Netflix, so if you get a chance, dude.
If it's not, it's worth the $4.99 to
yeah.
Work.
It's a sick
movie. I don't like those kind of workouts. Like, I think that's why I picked up jiu-jitsu, because I don't like working out by myself. Like doing really? Like, yeah, like working out for, you know, whatever it is, 30 to an hour. How long do you do?
Dude, lately, I used to do like the light days were 45 minutes and then a regular one would be like an hour and 15. I'm 30 minutes, dude. I don't have time
to put in. But see, like to do that by myself, like even like I do like the bike sometimes,
like the attack bike or the,
yeah. Not even attack bike. Peloton. Peloton, yeah. Okay. It's Echelon. It's like Echelon. Okay. But even then you're like doing it with like other people, you know? So like you're like kind of racing and they're kind of pushing you.
I could do the heavy bag by myself. Just hitting the heavy bag for
how long?
I do 10 3-minute rounds. With the nice. With the nice, yeah, 50-second minutes, you know? With the 50-second break in between.
So you figure like 35 to no, that'd be like 40 minutes.
Even and I do it, just trying to do as much as whatever I'm working on that round, as much as I can, because then that's what my body can do at the moment. Right on. And but then it just keeps moving up.
It's just not my favorite. Just not my favorite.
Dude, I don't know. I've listened to and studied, you know, sports trainers, all that stuff for over a decade. And if it works for you, then do it, man. Like, I don't know, your jive ain't going to be what works for me. And like, if it can keep you doing it on a regular basis, then do that.
Exactly. That's like when people ask me, well, how did you like lose the weight? It's like, I did something that I liked, you know, like I didn't go to the traditional gym.
Yeah.
Like, I did jiu-jitsu, you know, and for some people that would work better than the gym.
And for you, like tickled that wrestling.
Yeah.
I've never had a gym membership ever. I won't, like, I can't.
And like, so this one's worth it because jiu-jitsu.
Well, yeah, expensive. It's different. Yeah. Like a fighting school or a combat sports school. That's not like a gym. I don't want to go to a regular gym. I just can't. Like, I don't know. I don't want to be around people when I'm doing my jam. I don't want to be bothered. Like, it's funny. I used to do workouts in parking lots where I lived in Los Angeles, and if I got interrupted, I'd get bombed. Like, yeah, not friendly.
So what, you were just like on top of like a parking lot or something?
No, like straight up in the parking area, whether it was a parking garage, like a back parking area, just jump rope and burpees, dude. Yeah, and
how long did you live in L.A.?
That's coming up. March 24th of 2008 until October 29th of 2019. So what is that?
About
12 years.
So you lived there for a while. What were you doing there?
Playing music and working in bars in the entertainment industry, man.
Yeah. How's it?
What'd you do? Wait, what'd you do in bars? And tell us details.
So I moved down there just to play music. That's what I did. Almost like, I wouldn't say exclusively. Like that wasn't. I didn't make it my income once I left. So music was my income here before I left when I was going to college for music. Then I moved to LA and I just worked whatever jobs came up that turned into like the bar stools I sat on. The dudes were like, oh, you're scrappy and you're cool, so work the door and do bouncing. So I did that. That got me into doing work in the film industry, like behind the camera, whatever, like, you know, blue collar job there is, art department, catering, security. And then people I met through that had me do like private security, you know, at their houses where they'd have parties and whatnot, you know, they did film shoots. They'd be like, yo, come watch my spot. Like they hire regular security, but you're my friend and I'll look after your spot a little different than, you know, somebody getting paid $10 an hour at a job will. So, yeah. And that just led like, what was it? 11, almost 12 years of just wildness, dude. I ran wild for a while. But it's good.
That's tight.
So you said you played music, like, and I think we talked about it. You played like hardcore, a little more hardcore stuff.
Mostly, what I did was like punk rock and roll. Yeah, I got my degree. I played a lot of like classical, flamenco music. Played
with the dance without the pick. It's just the fingers.
Yeah, traditional Spanish dance music.
So I've noticed that with flamenco players, their fingers get like thick because they're like.
Yeah, it's all in the right hand. Like for years, I had fake acrylic nails only on my right hand. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
To play?
Yep. Yeah.
To strum?
Yeah. Yeah. To finger pick. Because I was playing rock and roll with Tom from Elite. I don't know if you guys know that. Like, I talked to Tom. You said it was cool to talk about it. So, yeah, I played in a band with that guy for years. Like, we did, like,
what?
I didn't know that. I knew he
skateboarded, but I didn't know he played in a band. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. I forget if I did, like, 1.5 or 2.5
Can you shoot me some of that music?
I honestly have it on CDs. I don't have it on a computer, and I don't know if you can find it online. I haven't looked. Yeah, but
just download the CD onto if anybody has a burner.
Yeah, but yeah, that's just, I don't know. Just most of it was punk rock and roll. I sat in on some like power violence and grindcore tours with just good friends of mine. The classical and flamenco stuff. I think that's about all the genre. And then just whatever random stuff would come up. I've done some embarrassing like pop rock music.
Okay. Yeah, but yeah. It just pays the bills at the time or what? Or
it paid, just... period. It didn't, like I said, once I moved to LA, it wasn't paying my bills. I didn't want it to. Uh-huh. But if you weren't the homie and I didn't like the material, then yeah, you got to pay me to show up, dude. Like,
oh, okay.
And if you pay me, that's cool. I'll do whatever you want. But yeah.
Music. So have you been doing music since you were like young?
I've been around music my whole life. My old man plays country music.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, since before I was born. I started playing guitar at 13. There was some like elementary school band stuff I did before that, but like music when I started doing it was 13, and then really, really went full on with it, like going to college for it and touring, performing, recording in my early 20s, late teens is when I...
That's the time to do it, right? Because you can sleep anywhere and...
Yeah, it is, I don't know. It's tougher for people to do it when they're older because, I don't know, I still like that. I wouldn't... Oh, you want to go on the road? I just did it. Like,
yeah, because you told me, you're like, I just got back from Seattle.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? What were you doing there?
Yeah, the dear friend of mine and his wife, they're both in the same power violence band I used to pick up tours with, called me up and like, hey, we got a new thing, we got a show booked, we want to see if it works, can you do it? I'm like, I don't know, give me a few weeks to see if the hands still work. And they did. I'm like, cool. And they're like, all right, we'll bring you up. And it's the first time I've done it since April 20th of 2019.
And where you were able to do it?
Yeah, it was nerve-wracking, and not that like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna get on stage, that's nothing, but like, holy smokes, am I going to be able to remember songs like in order and super fast?
Yeah. How do you prepare for that? Like, is this sheet music or is this just chords that you remember? Or
so
how does one prepare for this?
This time I did it way different. It used to be like, yeah, reading sheet music. Mm-hmm. I'd have chord charts, which is like shorthand notes for me to remember while I play. But it had been so long since I'd done it, I didn't want to rely on anything I had to look at because I'd just be up there on stage staring at a piece of paper.
Right.
That's lame, dude. Right. Like, nobody wants to see that.
For sure.
So I just memorized it all. I did it all by memory, which is how I learned to play before I went to school. I was all self-taught by ear.
Mm-hmm.
So you just, I don't know, do it by ear and you just memorize it. And as dumb as I am, somehow I can still remember.
Yeah, but you know, there's like those people that are like extremely intelligent and they can't get music, but you get like this guy who's like book smart. It's not there, but music, the guy can hear something and play something on a piano like it's nothing. I knew a kid like that. He could like play anything with any instrument, and he just like a little savant.
It's a different part of the brain. Like when I was going to school, I had the opportunity and was offered a pretty decent scholarship to go study music therapy, which is like giving people music to help them cope with like autism or, you know, some emotional disability, whatever. But kids that whose brain doesn't interact, or people, doesn't matter if you're a kid, that doesn't interact and process, I guess, normally, you give them music and they can immediately memorize stuff and focus and calm down. Like, music's the best drug ever, dude, for sure.
I saw something where this guy had like a degenerate or brain disease, whatever, he couldn't remember anything, and his daughter started playing old stand-up that the dad used to watch with her. And he would start laughing and he'd remember the jokes. But she's like, he doesn't remember like really who I am, but he remembers laughing and like his brain would like kind of come back a little bit, which I'm assuming maybe music can kind of do the same thing.
Yeah. When we hear sounds, it generates chemicals in our brains that allow us to like feel, to remember stuff. Mm-hmm. Not exactly the same, but the same idea as like a taste bud. It's not just what you put in your mouth with a sensation. There's whole like other brain processes associated with it. And people who have a weird brain that are, you know, maybe a TBI or, you know, maybe they're, you know, birth defect or something, music will make those chemicals work to where they can function in a way that they wouldn't be able to otherwise.
You know, I used to study while listening to music and it would help.
Yeah.
I used to go to class and, you know, hide my earbuds.
What were you listening to?
At that time, probably like Avenged Sevenfold, Rise Against.
Oh, right on.
We've actually seen them. They're actually both of them pretty good. And at that time, I always call it, it's like Linkin Park. It was like my gateway. like a gateway drug, but like to the other musics. And yeah, that's what I was in high school. And then now we've gone into more, I guess, more heavier stuff.
What's heavier stuff?
Blink 182.
No. I always have this joke, like, I'm like, I don't know more
Katy
than
Perry.
Like three of their songs. Hey, why right now, like, no, like, right now, like, Parkway Drive is what I'm into.
Right on.
I asked them if they want to go see Amity Affliction because they're coming.
I don't know who that is.
They're just like a band from Australia. For some reason, I really like bands from Australia because I think Parkway Drive is also from there.
AC/DC is from Australia.
Yeah.
What are you listening to, Fred?
I also rap, I guess.
Oh, we've also gone to like emo R&B. Stuff. We always go to like emo stuff together.
I have some guilty pleasures. Like, what's her name? It's not, it's like Lou V. It's like From the Start. what's that white girl? Damn. Sabrina Carpenter.
Okay, so I just watched her Tiny Desk concert. It was like pretty good.
I know that.
Oh, she's got a Tiny Desk?
She just did it like yesterday. You know what? I listen to a lot of like Tool a lot also, which I think their music's weird but awesome. Like,
do you do psychedelics and listen to them?
No, but I can only imagine that it'll just like rack my brain.
Yeah, yeah.
I've thought about maybe doing mushrooms one day. Haven't.
What do you mean maybe doing mushrooms?
I don't know. You're 32 and you've never done something, mushrooms? I work in something where I can't have any drugs in my system.
So they can't test you for mushrooms, dude, unless maybe you go act weird on mushrooms at work?
Well, then maybe I'll microdose.
If you microdose, you can probably. Huh? But if you take it once, it's like it's pretty quick, right? Like
the probably on a long weekend.
It metabolizes pretty quick.
Really? Yeah, I didn't know that.
It's not something they'll test you for. Mm-hmm. They can't. Really? Yeah, yeah. So don't do microdosing if you've never done it. Like, take a regular, you're a grown man. Take a grown man dose, dude. Minimum of an eighth. I did that for years.
So when you do it, like, how did you do it? Because, like, if you were to ingest it the first time, how would you?
I'd take an eighth.
Just eat it?
Yeah.
Just like that?
I don't like chewing on them.
Okay.
I don't mind the taste, but chop them up into a powder. Take an eighth, like, you know, weigh it out on a scale, chop it up. I used to eat them in omelets first thing in the morning.
Okay.
Eat your omelet, eat the eighth of mushrooms, smoke a joint, and by the end of the joint, you're going to be
pretty, tripping.
Yeah, you'll be cool.
Cool. Actually, actually maybe going to the concert. You know what I do a lot is for some reason I watch Danny Carey play his guitars with the camera above.
Oh, yeah.
It, like, seeing the way he moves his arms freaks me the fuck out because it's...
Dude, take mushrooms and go to a Tool concert. I take an acid and go to a couple of Tool concerts.
Really?
Yeah, it's good.
What do you listen to?
Mostly what I listen to now is like knucklehead hardcore, dude. I've always loved it, still do. So other than that, it's a wide variety. I've been listening to a lot of Skinhead Oi lately. There's been a resurgence of like this really, really good Skinhead Oi music. I haven't seen Skinhead shit in years. I grew up with it, and it kind of like, I don't know, just maybe I wasn't paying attention, but it stayed around. But like, there's a bunch of new young bands doing it, and they're doing it proper, and it's like,
cool. So when you say Skinhead, say it again.
Skinhead Oi music.
Oi,
yeah, you're not familiar. Okay.
That's a style. No, yeah, no. I know. There's a style of music. I thought it was a band.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like Oi music is. I
spell that. Spell that for me.
So Oi.
Oh, I was just. Yeah. Oh,
and if anybody, listen, if I'm misspeaking on culture, forgive me. I'm not.
Go out for him.
No. I just don't know what it is.
But, I would call it like a subsect or derivative of punk rock, but like, I don't know, through the, maybe even back to the 70s, 80s, 90s, like skinheads were playing like punk rock, but their punk rock was Oi. Like, you know, I don't know.
That's just probably just what they called it
before our
time. I can't remember why they call it Oi. But yeah, Oi music, it's just like skinhead punk rock. And it was around for a while when I was growing up, and it was rad and like super cool bands, cool scenes. And then it disappeared, and now there's this resurgence of these people doing it again. It's like, oh, rad.
You know, it's crazy. I remember listening to the Distillers in eighth grade with my friend. And he was like, my sister said this band's awesome. And then we were just like listening to it at lunch. And it was pretty good. But I was just like, what the hell is this? But like... all my cousins and stuff were like into hip hop, so like we wouldn't really like almost like hide it, wouldn't say anything.
Yeah, I feel like we need to crowdfund or something. Fabian's mushroom era. You're gonna get all sorts of
stuff. I'm already kind of weird. Oh, you know what? Maybe that and some video games. I would do that.
Yeah. Whatever. Try out in nature is best for psychedelics. Oh, I think
playing some Castlevania.
Yeah, you'll enjoy it for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that might be sick. I've been playing Remnant, so I think it's kind of creepy, and maybe that would that have a bad trip? Maybe.
I don't know. Have a bad trip. Okay. That'll be good for you too.
So that's could you, what is it called? The ego death? Can you, you don't do that through there? Or is that something else?
I'm thinking I guess you could. Something. I don't know. My ego has been squashed most of my life anyway. It's been big too, but like, I don't know. I've never had an ego death. Yeah, I never experienced that, but I don't know. I've been like psychologically humbled from it. I don't know. I think it's super healthy, man.
Have you ever done, what is it, the toad?
I've not done the toad.
Okay.
Well, you got some? I'll do it.
No, I've never heard of it. Like, what
is it? Ayahuasca?
No, it's a DMT toad that secretes a poison.
Yeah.
DMT. You take the toad and 5-MeO-DMT, that's what it is. Mm. You take the toad and wipe it on a piece of glass or a window, and that juice out of it dries, and then you scrape it with a razor blade and smoke that.
And oh, dang.
Yeah, apparently it's wild. Mike Tyson does it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but I always, I think I met somebody that did it, and they're like, it was wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done DMT once. That was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Damn.
It's good for me. I don't think I'd be able to. My anxiety is too bad.
It's not like that. It's lasted maybe 5 minutes. It's just super intense for a short period of time.
Yeah.
You don't freak out. And if you do, like, you're not like flailing around and hurting yourself. You're
like, just, like,
and it would be 5 minutes because it's already in your brain. Your brain already knows how to process it.
It just doesn't. The lifespan of the effects is not long. You think it's forever, but yeah, it's real quick.
In your brain, you think it's forever, but outside it's not.
Could be. Yeah, Salvia's like that.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Yeah.
Like the guy that had like a whole family, right? Do you guys hear from like the Joe Rogan, right?
Yeah.
He like had a whole family and like lived like underwater for 3 months.
Yeah.
Like he literally was in a podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was the comedian. What's his name? I can't remember his name.
I don't remember the comedian's name.
The one who drugged...
Ari Shaffir.
Ari Shaffir, yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had like a whole family, like underwater family for like 3 months.
Have you ever seen his comedy special on YouTube?
Which one?
Jew.
Oh yeah, the one with all the candles.
It's really good.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's really good. If you get a chance, dude.
Yeah, he's a funny guy. He's an interesting guy.
He takes forever to make a special too, because like he curates for a long time and then finally like decides to put one out.
Yeah, he doesn't just pursue the cash out on it.
Yeah.
He just, you know, this is what I do. I'm going to make a good quality piece of creative output.
However long that takes. Did you see when he gave somebody for their birthday a box with his shit in it?
Oh,
that's so funny you mentioned that, dude. I was just talking to my old lady today about doing that. My uncle years ago told me about, it's called shit in a box, dude.
Yeah,
give somebody a shit in a box. Apparently that's...
And you want to do it?
No, I've done it.
Oh, oh really?
Yeah. Multiple you gave times. Gift? Yeah.
Christmas is around the corner.
So now I know... Yeah. Shitty Christmas. What's it called? Well, now I know Clayton's giving... I'm scared.
No.
That he handed us stuff earlier.
No. I will not give you guys a turd in a box. We don't know each other well enough. I feel bad. No.
I'd probably laugh like crazy and hope it doesn't smell.
Don't put that out there, because then I'm going to want to...
Well, the whole thing is because he was talking about how like he took it through all New York and through a subway in the box, and it just like sat in there, and he like lied saying it was like a record signed by a band that he likes, and he was like all excited to open it.
I want to talk about, since we're on the topic of drugs, there's a group in Mexico called the Patrulla Espiritual. We don't see it here, but it's in Tijuana and Ensenada.
Are they the ones that take the people?
They kidnap homeless people. And they take them to... You see it? Yeah.
I've just seen a couple of memes. Tell me more about it.
Yeah, so they kidnap these people and take them to the rehabilitation center. But before he's like... But he calls them like, oh, you're a golden tassel. Like you're a pot of gold. You're like just talking good to... You know, like, what does he say? A tassel dorado. He hypes them up, you know, like... Well, like telling them who Jesus says they are. You know, like they're a diamond in the rough. Like, hasn't anybody told you that? And they're like, no, that's what captured them. And he's like, come back with me, and I'll get you fat. I'll feed you. I'll, you know, do all this stuff for you. And then when they decide not to, like not to go with him, he's like, I got this Bible verse for you, Luke 14:23. It's gonna make you float. And as soon as he says that, like the whole group that's with him, pick him up, throw him in the van, and then take him to the rehabilitation center.
I love that he's hitting a Samuel L. Jackson verse before he takes them.
And then like the before afters are crazy.
What's their get down on it though? Like what are they getting out of taking them and doing it? Or are these just people that are like, this is my calling?
He was a drug addict.
Really?
He was a drug addict. Okay. So like whenever he gets like the urge, he'll just go out and like go really? Pick. Yeah, he'll just go pick up people. Yeah,
I didn't know if that. I'd seen a couple of memes or reels or clips or whatever on it, and I was like, is that even real? Like,
yeah,
like,
with it's in and yeah, no, you can't. I don't think you could do it here, no. But in Mexico. Maybe they should. Yeah, I know. Actually, yeah, it's working because you see the before and afters.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, where's the guy from OXXO? OXXO is like a gas station, like an AMPM or Shell.
Oh, it's like a 7-Eleven.
Like a 7-Eleven, the Mexico. He's like, where's the guy from OXXO? Where's the guy from OXXO? Okay, you guys want to see the guy from OXXO? Here he is. He's all praising God, like a completely new person, like in a church service. And then he's all like humble, like he was all crazy before. And then all good looking, showered. Yeah.
Good. Get people clean.
Yeah. And they're clean.
Dude, we were in Mexico.
By kidnapping a man.
We were at that store and we just saw like three people, like, and this is like 3 p.m, just laid out, just like.
Fent?
Yeah. No, I think they're just like really drunk, but it was like 3 p.m. We were in Cabo and just on the floor. And we're like, I hope they're okay.
Was this tourists or this was?
No, there's dudes that live there.
Oh, okay.
That's anywhere around the world now.
Yeah.
You can go anywhere. Like, I spent a fair amount of time in downtown LA, like a couple of blocks from Skid Row.
Okay.
That's normal, dude. Like, dude. What's everywhere now has been there forever. What you're describing, just like people laid out, like, are you still alive?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
whatever, step over, yeah. Like,
yeah.
I see some of the little homes they make. They're like little sheds that they make. Some crazy stuff. They built some crazy stuff.
So when I was in high school, I got like kind of pushed into this like, Help the Troubled Kids program, and it was over like a week or week and a half. They took us to Tijuana. There's a point to this. And you just did service work, like going to orphanages, feeding people at the dump. But they took us into these neighborhoods where we stayed, and it was full on like large towns made all out of pallets, like whatever scrap,
siding, income,
whatever would work. And I don't know. I was a teenager. I was blown away. I was like, whoa, dude, these people make homes out of this stuff? And it's like, I don't know. It's wild. But that's still there.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Well, I mean, shit. Brazil, like half of Brazil is that.
Favelas.
Yeah, like the favelas.
Favelas.
Yeah, and freaking, they just, kids just come out of there. So you have a bunch of fighters that come out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mexico. Yeah. They get kids off the street, put them in the boxing gyms in Tijuana and just been scrapping their whole life. And you get these little killers that just don't stop.
Yeah.
It's like Michael, because Michael Jackson, no, his kid like wanted to fight or something like that. And yeah, laughed at him. Is like, dude, you're rich. Like, you have money. Like, you know, you're not gonna be a fighter. You know, like, you don't have that in you, because that. You know, like coming from dirt poor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of hungry, man.
Yeah.
What are those kids?
Different kind of hungry.
Yeah. Well, you said Mike Tyson. He came out.
Yeah.
Knows what his parents were like, drug addicts, right?
I think his mom was a prostitute.
Okay.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, something crazy.
And then that guy like what took him in, right? That coach or
coach?
Helped him?
Yeah. Coach D'Amato. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Good stuff comes out of hardship. Nothing we like or follow or whatever.
Pressure makes diamonds.
Yep.
Yeah.
100%, dude.
I was just like looking at geodes today too. I was like talking about like pressure and water and the rocks and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't get a lot of gains out of a lot of comfort.
Yeah.
You just don't.
Yeah. There's a Bible verse that I like. It's pick up your cross and follow me. It's like It's pick up your sacrifice, you know, pick up that hardship and follow.
What's that out of?
The Bible.
Like, but like
book?
A chapter.
Oh, man, I can't tell you off the top of my head. Yeah, it has to be one of the Gospels. Okay. So like the first four Bibles. So like Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John.
Okay.
Has to be in there.
So what is it? Pick up your cross and follow me?
Pick up your cross and follow me. Yeah, yeah. Pick up your struggle. Pick up your struggle and follow me.
Right on.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's a light in struggle, you know, in sacrifice.
Yeah,
there's no gain in comfort.
Nah, I haven't gotten anything positive out of life that didn't come with a lot of struggle, dude.
Yeah,
you know, and the more you struggle, the better getting over it is.
Yeah,
you know? For 100%.
Yeah, jiu-jitsu.
I was just gonna say.
I was gonna ask about, because I know you do archery also. How did your hands? Oh, you haven't done it since your hands.
I have not picked it up, guy. It's probably been 6 months since I picked up my bow. But yeah, I was doing traditional archery for like a year and a half straight, like just as hardcore as jiu-jitsu. If I wasn't at the jiu-jitsu school, I was at the archery shop at the indoor range.
So you just like go all in, right? Like,
yeah, I needed some distractions at that time in my life that were positive. So I was just like, all right, the only way I'm going to deal with what I'm dealing with is I'm only doing positive shit. Only doing positive shit. I'm not fucking with anything that's not positive. And that's just what I went and did. You know, that's why I was at the jiu-jitsu school so much when I started. And if I wasn't there, I was at the archery range. or work. But
dude, I see him wear the Hyperfly one,
Robin
with like the lining to make you sweat. And I was like, "What the fuck are you wearing?"
I never seen it.
There, it's like the material that they put in like those jackets, like the reflective material inside. Uh-huh, it makes you sweat. Just keep your heat.
Like a sauna suit.
He's wearing like a fucking hoodie under it too.
But he does that in the summer. You haven't seen his
dude,
post.
You're a psycho.
In the summer, he's like in his garage with the sweatsuit on.
Yeah,
so he like posts 110 degrees.
See that. Yeah, dude,
so yeah, he likes that. Crazy. I was like,
I don't even know why I started running it like that, but probably for at least 15, maybe pushing 20 years. No matter what time of year, especially in the summer, it used to be full sweatsuits with a hood on, pulled over, and a beanie. Now, you know, I can buy sauna suits. So it's sauna suits, preferably in the garage with a thermometer in there. If it's over 100, I'm in a full sauna suit with a hood, probably pushing it harder than like in the winter, you know?
Yeah.
Always still, like, always work out in sauna suits. Damn. It's good for you. But yeah, that's the geese. They have that in there. They're supposed to like keep you warm for competition. Like, sure.
The geese
like,
sure. have that? The geese?
Yeah,
have
Hyperfly
it?
Makes one. And it's like, yeah. If you want to train and stay warmer,
you gotta show me. I never seen this.
I pulled this fucking lapel.
Yeah, and you're like,
and I was like, you're a freaking psycho, dude. I was like, what are you doing wearing this?
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, that, I think their marketing on it is that they're geese for competition, and there's lining in them. So in between your rounds, you don't cool all the way down.
Yeah,
your muscles stay
that makes
warm,
sense.
So you don't get whatever.
But it was just like a random Sunday, and he's fucking wearing it.
That's clean.
I was like, Clayton,
what are you doing, man? I'm over here like struggling for water. He's just like
taking off your gi in between rounds.
Yeah, you know, I'm like, I'm hot.
Dude, I hate the heat. I hate sweating that much, but because it's so miserable, that's why I do it.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
How do you like your how do you
growth
like no
in
gi?
That, man?
I hate both of them, dude. But like, I suck more at no gi than I do at gi, just because I've done it more. But I think I like the game of no gi more. Because I don't know. I hate getting grabbed onto and like, dude, I can't punch you. Let go of me. You know? That sucks. How do I figure this out?
You like the gi? Sorry, I didn't catch
no, that. No, I like the game of no gi more.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
But, I mean, dude, I'm old, man. Like, that's a fast game.
No gi?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, when it's a game, you know, gi's a game. More of a game than, like, no gi jiu-jitsu.
More
time. Slow it down. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't feel like I suck at either one more. Probably suck at no gi more, but... Yeah, I don't know. I just hate people grabbing onto me like you guys do, especially you.
Him more probably. I wait for him to like do a takedown or something, and I'm like, okay, now it's time to go.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, I know your game.
Yeah, yeah. You know something.
I've been trying to.
But
figure
it's
out
funny
because
like whenever he finally figures something out, I just like add something on top of it. I'm like, all right, something new.
Yeah. I feel like that's the entire. Like lifetime of your jiu-jitsu. It's like you're just always learning, trying to figure
it
out.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
And I love it because he'll like learn something, and like he'll use it on me the next time. And I'm like, I'm saying you motherfucker, but I'm like happy that he's doing it. I was like, and it's I'm at least sort of helping somebody because I don't help a lot of people. I'm not very good at. But he helped me a lot,
dude. You guys in particular, there's a few other people that I feel like have been gracious with like putting on knowledge on me, like. Just in roles, like, oh, you see people are coming around more. They've stuck around for a minute. It's like, oh, hey, dude, you keep doing this every stick of time with me. Like, do this instead. And, like, I'm like, oh, dude, thank you. Like, I listen when you guys tell me that.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
I'm going to try and do that on you.
Yeah, all that, like the underhook stuff and, like, the
collar ties. You've been doing that. You've been doing more underhook stuff, right?
It's all stuff like standing, he showed me when I first started, like, first few months. Like, sometimes, I probably annoyed him. So much on Instagram, messaging him like wrestling and
he didn't know me.
Oh, dude! Yeah. No, funny thing. Like my first day, I kept like, like in my head, I like talked to myself, but I was saying it out loud. He's like, you know, you're talking, right? And I was like, yeah, that's how I learned.
He's just like
I was like, move the arm over here, this and that.
And then I was drilling, and then I was doing the move, and he's like, okay, move the arm this way.
Yeah, I was like, well,
I was like, dude, I got it. I got it.
But
like,
I'm trying to learn.
Did you move his arm for him?
Yeah.
Were you like,
yeah.
Put it over here?
No, he was just like telling me what to do, and I was like, the upper belt. You know, I was like, dude, I got it.
But I was trying to remember what to do. But I'm like, that's just how I learned, because sometimes when I learn something new, I'm like, okay, I'll move this over here. Yeah. But now I've gotten better, like being more quiet about it. But yeah, when I started, I would say it out loud, like, with the arm over here.
You were doing that as a white belt?
Yeah.
Because
that's
first week.
That's why.
Two stripe white belt here. If you're a white belt, don't coach, dude.
No, I wasn't coaching. Yeah. I was trying to remember the order.
White belt, don't coach.
Yeah. Yeah, but Fred helped me a lot, man. And we were just like right away, just cool with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when you came in, I was like, damn, that guy looks scary as hell.
Dude. I just have resting asshole face now. I swear. Like, and when I'm paying attention, I'm focused. Apparently I look pissed off because I'm just like focused, but my face looks stern and I don't like talking a lot. Here I am talking, but yeah, I don't know. I still think, I don't know. I got this weird mental thing where I walk into a new place. I'm like, oh, everybody hates me. Just shut your mouth. Like I thought everybody hated me forever. Still do.
It's like an imposter syndrome type thing.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. That's the way to say
dude,
it.
Dude, I'm like a chatty Cathy. I talk to everybody. Yeah.
But
what got you into jiu-jitsu and like elite team?
So, I wrestled in high school and then always had friends, you know, Tom, one of them, these guys who had done jiu-jitsu like at a higher level for a long time. And they'd always, you know, be like, oh, hey, let's stick around, show me some stuff, never trained seriously. And I was like, meh, dude, like, I want to punch and hit you with a piece of pipe or stab. Like, I don't want to wrestle. Plus, when I wrestled when I was a kid, I sucked, dude. I wrestled like 1 3/4 season, never won a match, always got just ragdolled, like I was weak and scrawny, never wanted to mess with grappling. So when I moved out of LA and I had a real job, I was like, oh, there's like a legit Brazilian dude here, my neighbor's best friend. The shutdowns happened and he's like, I can't train at this guy's spot anymore. And he's like, dude, that's my best friend, he'll train you privately if you want. So I got to go with Bruno Fajeda. God, I just looked up who he's a black belt under. I'm gonna say it wrong, he's straight from Brazil. I said, this is a Brazilian lineage. Mm-hmm. Legit. And he's like, dude, he'll train you. Like, you should do jiu-jitsu. We're all doing it. And I'm like, dude. So my dumbass goes to the Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt from Brazil and goes, dude, teach me Muay Thai, because he does MMA. So I just did MMA with him like almost a year. Oof. He would run me through a circuit where he would drill me on, like, this is an arm bar on a jiu-jitsu doll, like at the end of the rest of the circuit. So it was just part of it. Never messed with it. Still didn't want to. I just teach me kickboxing, dude. Mm-hmm. I don't want to wear whack ass pajamas. I don't want to roll around with dudes, like, lame
sweaty dudes.
Yeah. And then I came back here, had some, like, just my life switched upside down. It was like, holy shit, I gotta go do some positive shit. The therapist I was seeing said it wasn't a good idea for me to take any more head injuries. You know, I've had like a TBI and shit. So I'm like, all right, I'll suck it up and go do jiu-jitsu. And then I was looking it up and I hadn't spoken to Tom in years, but I was like, nobody I knew from the places down south I was from knew of anybody legit here. So I just looking it up, I was like, oh, Tom gave this guy his black belt. It's the same school as Tom's. I'm going to go there. Mm. And that's how I ended up at Elite. Walked in and, I don't know, I think Marty had all the, it was a no-gi thing, and he had them all doing heel hooks. So all these, you know, young, strong dudes were just heel hooking the shit out of me for a night.
Play footsies.
Yeah. And then I just got hooked. I was like, oh, this is what I'm doing now for
next time.
Like a combat training type thing. I was like, and I don't think I'll ever stop. You know, it's just something I do now.
You know, that's the reason why I went into it, is I didn't want to get hit in the head. I was like, I don't feel like I need to get hit in the head.
It's not good for you, dude.
I still remember the first submission.
So how did you get that? You said you got a TBI. How'd that happen?
Yeah. Excuse me. 2009 or 10, I forget. Anyway, I was skateboarding on a 4-foot mini ramp in the Diamond Street neighborhood of L.A. Fluke accident. I went up to the top of the ramp and my head came down from about 9 feet straight to the ground. No hands or anything, straight on the side of my face. I didn't go completely out, like flopping around like a fish, but severe concussion. I was TKO'd. I was only in the hospital for like 18 or 19 hours. There wasn't like bleeding and shit for them to have to drain. So they sent me home with my skull broken in 1, 2, 3, four or five places. Yeah, this is all reconstructed with metal now.
So you're a Terminator, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're going to hit me, I'm going to give you the left side.
Can someone play the music right now?
Yeah. So they sent me home. On a bunch of medications to get the swelling down. And then I went in like 4 days later and they reconstructed my face. But the aftermath of that was solid 3 months. I couldn't get out of bed. Severe, severe depression, which is common with head injuries.
Yeah. Like,
and now I know, especially because, you know, it's a lot more common for people to talk about it. They research it with, you know, pro sports and stuff. Like, dude, my, I, you know, like the impulse control stuff and like the depression stuff and just, dude, it, I was already running wild and I just ran even more wild after that head injury, dude. It was gnarly. I shouldn't say gnarly. It was unconventional, you know, what it made me do.
So when it's cold, because my uncle has like a metal plate, does it hurt?
No.
No?
I guess, I don't know. I don't have a lot of sensation anymore.
Nerve damage.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's nerve jamming, but
if you can't feel
when it gets cold, like it's a little more like, I don't know, like that. But I don't know. I guess I'm just used to it because it's been so long now. But yeah, I broke my skull.
Nice. Wow, yeah. That's fucking insane.
Yeah. I still remember the first submission I got on you.
On me?
Clayton. Yeah, on you. Yeah. I was fresh out of getting snipped.
Oh.
So I had a cup on. I had a cup on and I'm full mounted. Basically my nuts were crushing his chest. My cup was crushing his chest. Yeah.
All the homies make fun of me because they say I got bitch ribs because I've broken like 5 ribs total.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. All the rib breaks are from skateboarding, but yeah, when you did that I was like, "Damn it, dude." Like my bitch ass ribs. But I didn't stop.
That's good. That's good. Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
Once Stan got me in like this weird, like shoulder thing.
Where condo?
No. He was like somewhere like he just extended my shoulder, like my whole arm, mm-hmm. but I felt the pull in my ribs.
Oof. Yeah, those injuries suck.
Because
any little movement, like you move around, it hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hurts. I bruised my ribs like a few months. I took a mean double leg because my dumbass didn't stuff it or nothing. He just like. Boom, I was out. Uh-huh. Adriana. Yeah, I was out for like a while.
I don't remember.
Yeah, that's when we went to Lead Team Clovis. Mm. I couldn't train for like a few weeks, and then I went back and like even putting like a little bit of pressure. Yeah. And I was like, I can't even imagine
breaking. You weren't coughing ribs. Up blood?
No.
Then why'd you stop, dude?
Because that just sucked.
You should.
A little fat boy. I've torn a rib muscle, and I just pretty like they were just giving me like muscle relaxers or whatever to make sure.
Yeah, ribs are bomb, dude. Like they can't really do much for them. Maybe give you painkillers or something for them. Yeah. That doesn't really work. You're just stuck with pain.
Well, they were just putting me to sleep pretty much. Yeah. Like I didn't work for like 2 weeks and just slept.
Yeah. Yeah. Ribs are gnarly, dude. They just take forever to heal and they hurt.
Well, when they break, they can puncture like a lung or something.
Yeah. That's the only risk with them. But even if it's not puncturing, like they're not going to put a cast on your body.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to do anything other than here's some ibuprofen, tough it out.
You have the verse for us? What verse is it for the pick up your cross and follow me?
Matthew 16:24-26.
There you go. Matthew in the gospel.
I didn't realize we had a Googler.
Yeah, we have
a decent producer. She's the silent producer.
We have what is it?
She's Jamie?
We have our own Jamie.
Yeah.
We had our own Jamie. Yeah. But
she denied the producer role. I'm like, oh, you're the producer? She's like, nah.
Yeah, she's a producer.
She's a silent producer. It's actually pretty cool. Producer. We call her SP.
SP?
Yeah, SP for short. Yeah.
She kept it low key.
So we are at time, Clayton. I do have a gift for you underneath your chair. If you could grab it, did you? I was hiding it.
A what?
I got a little gift for you.
Oh, my
what? Yeah.
A little TBM sweater.
With the
It's funny. I can wear this now. Bartender at the spot I was at last night said I had a dad bod.
Oh, there you go.
I can be thick boy now.
Thick boy.
Oh, dude. Like, aren't dad bods in? Some
sweater.
Not with me, dude. I'm not a dad.
No.
Oh, cool, dude.
Yeah, brother. Yeah. So that's for you.
I love how that sweater came up. We were like, we should do forklift certified, but in those letters. And then we're like, why don't we just do Thick Boy Mafia?
Thick Boy Mafia. I like it. There you guys go. Thick Boy Mafia. Like
death metal font.
Yeah, that's what we did. But we wanted to do forklift certified.
If it's.
Because it would look funny if someone asked like what it was.
Well,
and
band?
Then we're like, yeah.
Name three songs from that band.
Nah. Yeah, forklift certified. It's like OSHA is here.
So any final words, brother? We're at time.
Nah, I don't know. Be chill, be cool, train jiu-jitsu. Don't be a bitch.
There you go. Yeah. If you're not bleeding, go train. Yeah.
Right?
Sick.
Yeah, eat some mushrooms too.
Eat mushrooms.
All right, I guess I'm out of the
try. Bye, everybody. Thank you guys.